My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And we're just recording a little wrapper thing in case you're wondering why this is on your feed or the news didn't reach you. As we're recording this last week, we lost Jeremy Greer, one of our friends who we met through our shows, through Bonfireside Chat, and who was a host on the network and everything. And we thought people, you know, one of the things about Jeremy is, in addition to being a close friend, he was great.
Yeah.
He was really good on podcasts, very funny, very insightful, plugged up a lot of holes in our knowledge base.
Yes.
And stuff. So we thought, and he, you know, I wrote a big thing on Patreon about this, but one of the things about Jeremy is he loved podcasts.
Yep.
He absolutely loved this medium. He did as many as we do, and he's only one person.
Yep.
We thought we would rerun the Jeremy files, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, not to be confused with non-human biologics. So these are the Jeremy appearances. If you want to listen to kind of a chronology of him being on the shows.
Yeah.
And revisit those appearances.
Yeah. Just go back, listen to him being great. You know, just wanted to do this in remembrance.
Yeah. He cared about having his podcast stuff around.
Yep.
After he passed. So, you know, we're doing our part for his Duck Feed appearances here, I guess.
Yes.
And in case anybody wanted to listen back, save you the trouble of having to search through the archives.
Yeah, so. Yeah. So,
give a listen.
These will be hitting the feed. I don't know if it's going to be all at once or kind of all in rapid succession. But that is why you're seeing this stuff.
Yeah, and if you're not interested in that and everything, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
Just ignore them. That's the thing. But if you are, here they are. And,
some of our landings were desperate adventures. We are now prepared to meet the inevitable counterattacks with power and with confidence.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And I'm Jeremy Greer.
And you're listening to Bonfireside Chat. It is an undead favorite.
And this week we are talking about World 3-1 of Demon's Souls, the beginning of the Tower of Latria. As you hear, we're joined again by Jeremy Greer, alumni of the show and our resident PvP guru. Hey, Jeremy, how's it going?
Going very well. How are you guys doing tonight?
Good.
Doing good. You're acting like we didn't just talk for a half hour before this.
Yeah. No, that's good. It's good to meet. Like, he's setting up for the audience.
Okay, cool. Yeah. I forget how this works. No.
Yeah, you're breaking the third wall.
Yeah. The third earphone. But anyway, Jeremy, of course, has an awesome YouTube channel, not ECEC. I always get it wrong. Is that correct?
That's correct. You got
okay,
it right.
Cool. Awesome. And then he also runs the Dark Souls Hater blog.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Does your Dark Souls Hater blog sometimes include Demon Souls haters?
It has, I think, once. Somebody has actually asked that question before, and I said that I would take any and all, but I don't get much PS3 hate on Dark Souls haters in general, and very, very little Demon Souls hate. In fact, just doing a little minor bit of PvP that I've done at Demon Souls, everybody's been super friendly.
Yeah.
So, I don't know why there's a split between the two. Maybe it's because Dark Souls is a little bit more of a big thing, so it attracts a lower class of people, so to speak.
Yeah. I think the one theory that I've heard, and I don't know if I buy into it because it seems kind of like weird and stereotypy, a little ping pong, is that most of the community on Demon Souls is Japanese. Yeah.
Could be.
It can also be an older game.
It's an older game, and the level invading is much weirder, so I don't think that the PvP was ever as active as it has been in Dark Souls. So,
true.
I've never done any PvP in Demon Souls. Like, I'll need to before the end of the show, clearly, and I'm going to try to invade as the old monk before next episode. But I've never done it. So,
have you been staying human? I decided to be to cheat, I guess, a little bit and do the item dupe glitch thing with what's his name. Stockpile Thomas. Yeah. So I've been staying in human form just for that reason, because I wanted to see if I would get invaded. probably four or five times, and I think I've played everything except for the end boss of the game. So it's not extremely active as far as invading goes.
Yeah,
I considered staying human the entire time, but I wanted to game the tendencies.
Exactly.
I had to like make a choice. Yeah, between making it easy enough for me to switch between tendencies and getting more PvP experience. Yeah. But yeah, I stand by my choice. I do want to invade as the old monk, and I have fought the proper old monk a few times, so which is a pleasure.
The proper old monk, like a PvP one, or
yeah,
okay.
So I've done that twice now out of, I think, the four times I've fought him. Mm-hmm. Twice where the computer, just probably because there's nobody around or, one reason or another. And then twice where we're actually humans.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
I do like the default old monk setup with the dual claws, because that's one of my favorite Dark Souls builds. So when I saw that for the first time, I was like, yes, this is great.
But he's such a breeze. Like it's way too easy. So we will be talking about Old Monk next episode.
Yes.
And we'll be talking about him in this episode, too, because he colors this entire area.
Yes, he does.
I'm sorry, Cole, did I cut you off?
No, I was good. You said he colored it. I said a bright shade of yellow.
Oh, yeah, very good. That was not intended by me, but... So previously we felled the Dragon God in Stonefang Tunnel, and now we are setting our sights for the Fallen Kingdom of Latria and its fabled prison tower. Starting out with 3-1, which is the... Tower of Hope or Prison of Hope?
Prison of Hope, yes.
Prison of Hope.
Yeah. Yeah.
Could there be a more contradictory term than Prison of Hope?
I love that so much.
Yeah, Prison for Hope.
Yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I love that so much. It has this awesome, like, high/low fantasy feel. Like, it's kind of cliched in the way that it's like, haha, get it? But man, so good. Because it works for like what the history and lore of this area is, and also the tone,
Yeah, which is also, we should note, and we'll talk about it several times. Like, these episodes have been a little bit lore bereft, but if there's a concentration of lore in Demon Souls, it's this world. Mm-hmm. I feel like there's kind of the most concise and complete story of any of the worlds in Latria, even though it's not too connected to the rest. There's not very much Boletarian presence here, there's a little bit. You run into Sage Frake, which is probably the most talkative and deepest NPC.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe mm-hmm. other, but he doesn't actually spill all his beans until well later.
Right.
Kind of, become a major player in the kind of macro plot.
Yeah. But in Latria, there's an NPC who just straight up tells you the history, who says what's going on, which is rare for the series, and also, a kind of a singular thing in this game, too, I think.
Yeah, the Archstone does, too. Like, if you read the Archstones 1-4, just kind of back to back, they more or less lay it out for you.
True.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That same NPC also gives you a hint to the boss of 3-1. And kind of the gimmick, I'm sure we're going to get to it, but the gimmick of that as part of her dialogue text, which I didn't pick up on the first time I played through, and it was the second time that I happened to notice it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. But
talk to us a little about the story, Cole.
Yeah, yeah. So Latria is kind of a sister kingdom or sub-kingdom or region. Who knows what the politics of this world are of Boletaria. Mm-hmm. But it's this land of intellect and magic and all these kind of things. Just imagine a whole country of the Duke's archives, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So mage academies. Well, I guess there is one of those in Dark Souls. What's it? Vinheim.
That's kind of like Vanheim.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So there we go. So it was ruled over by a king, and she had this, depraved old husband or whatever. She exiled him, but he came back wearing these yellow clothes, and he had a bunch of demons with him, and sacked the entire kingdom and threw the dissidents in the Tower of Hope. And nobody really knows what happened to the queen.
We know that she was replaced by like a false.
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably nothing good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I imagine, the kids are come home or whatever, and they're like, what happened to mom? And it being like, if somebody's watching your house and your pet dies, and then they go to the pet store and like,
wait a minute,
like kept happening in like Growing Pains and Silver Spoons and
mom,
shit.
Mom had a spot on her right leg that looked like a heart.
Yeah, I know. This isn't actually my mom. Also, she's got four arms. Oh.
Yeah. No,
the times I kill her, it doesn't work.
The empties are, you don't want to you do not want to know what happens to the empties, Gary.
Yeah. What is, remind me what that's from?
That is from
Something
World's
Neat
End.
And Cool. Yeah. I knew that I watched it recently.
Yes. Yeah. But it's interesting that you mentioned that, because I love the way that this works. So instead of just killing these people to harvest their souls, they are trying to temper them in sorrow by putting them in the prison and saying, hey, if you can get out, you get redemption. And then putting all of these terrible traps in the way in order to kill them and get everything. Yeah. The biggest joke of all being, you know, the demon that's guarding the church revives every time you kill her. So, you know, there is no hope. There is no redemption. Mm-hmm.
Right. Absolutely not. Yeah.
And the best thing about it is that it works really well. Like, I think this is the one area in the game where you find the most NPCs that talk to you back and forth, and they're all like trapped somehow. Whether it's Freak or a Yurt in the next part, in the next section. Like, I mean, a lot of people get trapped by this area.
Yeah. Rydell.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Rydell. Rydell, yeah. who you hear shouting, help me, somebody help me, throughout all of the level until you rescue him.
Yeah. Or he does that, and then he clears his throat in a real serious way otherwise. He like Hagar's out from Colossus's.
Yeah. But like sonically, this is the most interesting of the levels, I think, because you have, you know, dude screaming, help me, for the love of God, help me. You have creepy singing lady who's summoning a moonlight butterfly, I think.
Yeah, we'll get to her in a moment.
Yeah.
I wanted to teach her another note.
and then man, you also have those bells. Good.
That's really harsh, Gary. I mean, like, she's trapped in this prison. Everybody she knows is dead. Her whole world is collapsing around her, and you're going to criticize her singing?
If she would be, think about all the different combinations you can make if you knew three notes rather than two. Yeah, there's only 12, like, and you have all the time in the world, lady. I don't know what the Latrian scale is. It's probably got all these subsonic.
Yeah, all these, like, things. Diatonics or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but the you get here and you start off right in the prison, and the lion's share of this level is, you know, again, like, and we said this about Tutu as well, but like, there's several things that they haven't repeated in the Souls series, and this kind of, like, it's almost like a Silent Hill level.
Yeah.
like the apartment in Silent Hill 2.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where you're going, you're finding keys that unlock different floors, you're checking locked doors, and just kind of exploring a really, you know, diegetically sound, you know, space. Like, there are just empty cells constantly in the way there would be in a prison.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's constructed with an order like, you know, like a prison. It doesn't feel like a video game level because it is inherently an artificial and, like, oppressive structure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It is weird that they put the archstone like on the third floor of a prison, but I can overlook that just because it's a good starting point, so you can work down to the ground floor. Because that's a real fun way to proceed through that level. Like, you're constantly trying to move back between the levels and get the extra keys. But yeah, the archstone's placement was really strange.
Yeah. This level is unlike many of the levels in the game. Is not like, you end up spending a lot of time traversing it, but you do tons of backtracking.
Yeah,
which you know doesn't happen elsewhere, really. Right. A little bit too, but
yeah, it makes it a little bit difficult to talk about the sequence in which you do things, though, right?
Yeah,
like, you know, there's a lot of like, okay, third floor west to second floor east to such and such west. It's back and forth, and you're going like a Silent Hill level. There are broken down walls between the different areas, but really there in the prison itself, there are three kind of places: the cell blocks, the let's see here. I had this written down. The cell blocks, the stairways, and kind of the hidden hallways that run between them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And balconies and shit. But yeah.
Yeah, balconies and little kind of side. I mean, there's a lot of variety to it. You're just going to spend a lot of time walking by closed cells.
Mm-hmm.
Which, like, a pro tip for those is, like, once you open those doors, you can't close them.
Mm-hmm.
And it is useful to, unless there's something in there you want, and you can see it from outside almost every time, don't open them. Because I definitely found my first playthrough, when I was trying to run through or a couple of combat situations, ended up being impeded by what's definitely the most numerous enemy in this level, which in a, you know, amazing subversion, is a non-aggressive dreadling who's just kind of pawing at your, you know, your sleeves, like the hem of your pants, and just trying, you know, begging you for mercy or for help or what have you. But they still can hinder your progress. Like, if you're running somewhere,
Yeah.
So in my first run through, I died a couple times fighting the mind flayers, the more aggressive enemies, because I had opened up a door, let one of these guys out who was now wandering out in front of his cage, mm-hmm. and got in my way.
Yeah.
So which is really cool. Like just this poor, poor guy, hindering your progress without being outright aggressive in any way.
Yeah. And then you have these hordes, some of which are aggressive, hidden in among them, right?
Yeah.
And some of which even have weapons. Some of them are armed, some of them are not. So it's a real good mixture of kind of enemy types and enemy behavior all in one really small area.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Yeah, it makes you real paranoid because they can like come up out of nowhere too.
Yeah, or reach out between the bars of the cell. Like I've gotten stabbed while
they can
running by once. Yeah.
Had no
idea. Mm-hmm. Oh.
Yeah. It doesn't do very much damage, but it's just meant to startle you.
Yeah. They throw flaming toilet paper at you.
Yeah, Attica. Yeah. Attica.
I'm playing a female character, so, that one scene in Silence of the Lambs.
quit referencing that. I'm tired of putting that in show notes.
Sorry.
It's so gross.
Sorry. Have I done that before?
Yeah. Okay. That's definitely been in our show notes before.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
I can just imagine someone finding Gary's search history and like, why does he keep looking up YouTube videos of that one scene?
Why is he constantly watching the ejaculation throwing scene from Silence of the Lambs?
It made an impression on me. I watched it when I was way too young.
Yeah. No, it made an impression on me as well.
Sorry.
Yeah, but it is gross.
Yep, it is.
And luckily, Dredlings don't have working dicks. So they pretty much just have... Yeah, they're not Penumbra bad guys.
I do get the video gamey urge to have to kill everybody as I progress through these levels, even if they're not even attacking me. I think somebody wrote a letter in or something to one of your episodes and said that they couldn't. There was another level where they're having issues with that, and I just can't do it. I can't walk past those dudes and just leave them in the prison. Like, no, man, you've got to die. You give me no souls, and there's no challenge to it, but you have to die. I'm sorry.
You're maybe doing them a favor. Like it's like they're not. This is one of those like in the kind of central, Demon Souls thing, which like we'll talk about when we talk about the end. But like part of it is like, is the world worth saving? Like this is a terrible, shitty place, and these people are being fucked over like constantly. And I think that like the fact you could argue that they're not, there's nothing good about them being alive on their end.
And I guess if I was trapped in a cage and had to hear and see those weird mind flayers walking around 24/7, I would probably ask for someone to put me out of my misery as well.
Yeah.
Those guys scare the hell out of me.
I'm sure if you ask them real nice, they'd do it for you.
Yeah. in like a really terrifying way though. Like I mean sometimes they just shoot magic missiles, but other times they paralyze you and suck out your face.
Yeah.
Oh, and the animation for that where they stick one of their things like just straight through your head. It's so gross.
Yeah. And the pose they strike, like just that, arms out and their tentacles up, just blah.
Yeah. Well, even the way they walk, like kind of hunched over like a Tonberry.
Yeah.
A little bit, like just kind of like a doddering old man in robes, like wandering around the prison. Mm-hmm. I mentioned it tons of times, but that bell that they make, which I every time I hear that as a text tone, like gives me a little bit of anxiety. I tend to think of it as like a signal, or like you just kind of hear it randomly, and it's kind of like an all as well. Like this is what they're doing to communicate with each other.
Yeah.
Kind of like check in. If this were a tabletop game, you'd have to take one of the bells and check in with it, which I should steal for a tabletop game because it's cool.
Yeah.
They don't really work by sight, right? It's only when they hear you coming that they get aggressive towards you. Is that correct?
The Thieves Ring is really, really useful here. It's mm-hmm. useful throughout the game, but I find it is I find the most purchase with it in this and 5-2.
They can see you. I definitely walked around a corner and had one rush towards me.
Oh, okay.
But they can hear you as well. They're not blind. But the Thieves Ring, like once you get it, it's hard to justify taking it off.
Yeah.
Like it's so huge. I don't know if you guys saw it, but Betavidja put out put out a YouTube today where he's been highlighting Dark Souls mods. And I guess there's one that increases enemy aggression.
Hmm.
That looks awesome. Like enemies, aggro at a much higher distance and then will, they're on, like they, you can't run away from them. And he said it's like it felt like playing the game for the first time. Like nobody behaved the way you thought they would, and you'd encounter enemies in unexpected places and stuff. So just that kind of like aggression, aggro radius is such a big thing. Yeah. And being able to cut that down with the Thieves Ring like makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
As an aside, I watched that video and I thought it was really kind of scummy that he was like, oh, this doesn't work with the current version because Cheat Engine doesn't work. So just go download the game from a file sharing site. And I was like, what are you doing?
did he mean that, or did he mean because you can roll back your game using like files? Like you get specific files from the thing. It's not the entire game, like all of it. But like you can download a specific file that rolls back your game. There was like a workaround for when that patch first came out that had to do that. It's not like stealing the game entirely, but it rolls back your version. I don't know what he was actually referring to.
Yeah, but the mod looked crazy. And I would love to have something like that for Demon's Souls, just to mix up the enemy placement.
I need them to update Cheat Engine so I can finish my Gravelorded thing. But now that I know about this aggro one, like that would be a fun playthrough as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I love the Mind Flayers too, because like one, they're explicitly, you know, Lovecraftian, like they're Cthulhu headed. And then there's such like, I love how everyone just feels the, you know, no compulsions about stealing this thing straight up from D&D. You know, like yeah, Final Fantasy 1 or Demon's Souls, like everyone just is fine taking Mind Flayers. Like they're kind of public domain at this point.
Yeah.
And we'll just steal that. It's no problem.
Yeah.
I've never seen them not called Mind Flayers. I guess. What's his name? Freight calls them the Octopus Headed Guards, but
yeah, which is a less catchy name.
but Freight was never good at the own branding.
I love that the Illithids or whatever they are, they're dangerous from pretty much any distance. I mean, you know, yeah, you can dodge out of the way of their soul arrows or whatever, but it's one of the few enemies that I've seen that actually has a way to engage you from more than one kind of radius, right?
Yeah. And the level geometry lends itself to this. So you're in narrow corridors. So they're going to have kind of a bead on you. You know, it's very frequent when you run into these guys. Oftentimes they're at the end of kind of a long corridor. But there are little kind of alcoves and these cells. So you're kind of making this little micro choice between hiding, you know, dodging out of the way into the cell, but then he can close the distance and, you know, and potentially trap you. And, if he hits you with that paralyzation thing, like that's, you know, it's not difficult to dodge, but if you're in a really tight space, it can be, so it's interesting the way that you have this kind of your vocabulary for getting out of the way can also kind of bite you in the ass with this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's also one of those things playing Demon Souls after Dark Souls. As soon as I get hit with one of those paralyzing things, I immediately start jamming buttons on the controller thinking it's going to get me out sooner. And it never, ever does.
Yeah.
I think I just do it to soothe myself now, honestly.
Yeah. They're like screaming into a pillow.
Yeah, if I get caught, just kind of like, well, maybe it'll work this time.
Yeah. It's not instantly fatal. Like you can definitely survive it. Yeah, and then usually I can just kind of roll away and get away before he follows. But I've definitely been hit in the back with a magic missile before. The other thing about these guys is like they start out pretty tough and then get tougher, because later you start running into a lot of Black Phantom versions. And we'll talk about those more next episode. But those guys are really fucking like, it's so they don't stagger, like unless you're hitting them over the head with like a meat cleaver, like, you know, regular weapon, it's really hard to stagger them, which is pretty much my, you know, running R1 was how I took out these guys, and that would usually stagger them, and then my next attack would usually kill them. So I did a real like kill these guys before they kill me approach, but it doesn't work with the later versions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at least here you have a way to dodge them and get out of the way, whereas they very consciously avoid that later on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man. The ones on the stairs.
Yeah.
Screw those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. And you think, yeah, I mean, we'll talk about it next episode, but like, there's no good way to approach those things. So we talked about it a little bit, but you run into your merchant for the level. You start hearing this singing, and it's just these two notes, like not necessarily concordant notes, just kind of back and forth forever.
Yeah.
And then you eventually find her in a cell, the once royal mistress, who just I love her stopping singing when you come in.
Oh, you're here? I'm sorry.
Oh, I didn't see you come.
Hello. But she's nonplussed at all. Like, hello, I was once a royal mistress. Perhaps you'd like some of my wares. You know, she's just very genial right off the bat.
I always imagine the player character going, "Hey, what's up with the singing?" And her just responding to something like, "You didn't even ask the question." Just like, "Yeah, I was a royal mistress."
Yeah, yeah.
Here's the history of the land. No, what was up with the singing? Oh, no, let me tell you about this dude and his wife.
Or she looks away and then looks back and goes, "Oh." Oh.
I said it before, but I'll say it again. She's summoning moonlit butterflies.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, well, she's like, there's something weird going on with her too. Is she wearing like a mask or something, or just like tons of makeup, like Marie Antoinette makeup?
I think it's a mask. I think it's like, yeah, like a masquerade mask kind of thing.
Yeah, super creepy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I had the wiki page pulled up, and it, I mean, the image is kind of small, but yeah, that's really bizarre.
Yeah, she's suffering from spooky face.
I'm sorry, it's fatal.
Yeah.
Terminal spooky face. Yeah.
But yeah, so she's essentially, and she's also like more than a lot of the other merchants you found, which is kind of sell you things. Like, she gives you a lot of useful information and backstory. It kind of tells you what we laid out about their, you know, being a once kind of benevolent queen and the king coming back. Initially, like, I thought she was the queen, but refers to the queen as another. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, and the naming is inconsistent. So I've seen her referred to as the former royal's mistress as well, something like that. But I think that leads me to believe that the royal class comes from Blatria.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Like, yeah. You mean like the royals? Yeah, yeah. Because you find the sorcerer's like you find his kit, you find his armor and stuff.
Yeah,
is where you find the
silver. And the cornet or whatever.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's definitely where the royal comes from.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And kind of most importantly, if you're, you know, exhausting our dialogue options, she talks about the kind of false queen at the end of the level and that she cannot die. So that's your explicit hint about the twist of this boss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's funny, you know, she is resigned to her fate. She's not one of the people who tried and failed to get out. She knew exactly what was up.
Yeah, and she just set up shop.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm ever trapped in a jail, I'm going to start selling wares. Practicing my notes.
Yeah. Two of them. Going to get real good at these two.
Yeah. I'm going to leave this prison with the notes that I brought in, not a single lecture.
Oh, gosh. There's more zigzagging back and forth after her. I'm not quite sure what order you get to people in.
You get a lot of, like, in all the zigzagging, you get a lot of treasure.
Oh yeah,
in this level, like, you get a lot of armors too. Like, this is where you find like a lot of the light armors in the game. You get like the assassin set,
mm-hmm.
And that royal set, and then also just tons of stuff that supports a magical character.
Mm-hmm.
So not just, you know, not only just a lot of ore.
Leave this area with enough ore to get a really, really good crescent weapon.
Yeah,
going.
Yep.
And you also find mercury stone here, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the poison upgrade path.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah,
that
which
seems
is hard.
Like the most useless upgrade path.
Gimmick PvP builds.
Yeah, I guess.
I would love it if it was viable, but and that's so hard to get to because I don't think there's very many things that give you mercury stone.
Mm-hmm.
I know that the man leeches in the next level do, but there aren't very many. So, yeah, but you do get a lot of stuff in this level, which is cool. And if you're a magic character, braving 3-1 early on in the game, maybe once you've gotten one of the magical weapons, can be really worthwhile, especially if you didn't start as a royal and you can get that silver coronet because that thing's amazing. So,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I forget, is this where you get the fragrant ring too?
No, I don't think so.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah,
she sells the Ring of Avarice.
Yeah.
Kick yourself if you buy that for 50,000 souls because you find it.
Yeah,
yeah, you find it. Like, I just wait an hour, buddy.
yeah. You get it in. You get the fragrant ring in 3-2.
Oh, okay, so not here, but in the next zone.
Gotcha. I couldn't remember.
Yeah.
Yep. In the kind of cavalcade of prisoners here. You also run into Sage Frake, who we mentioned a little bit. You're not going to be able to free him for a long time, but I love, like, the setup. Like, again, just like what Cole mentioned, the kind of auditory nature of this level, where you're whenever you're kind of around him, you start hearing this like, you know, like you start hearing hover bikes, and then eventually get to his cell, and he's like communing with this glowing sphere.
Yeah, yeah, that's a weird setup too, but that's something they've gotten away from in their in Dark Souls. Like you don't, there's nothing like that in Dark Souls at all. There's a moment when you're, I think you finally get past the first Mind Flayer and you turn down the side hallway, you're looking directly across at Freak Cell. So like you're looking over there and you can't really see what it is. It's just glowing and blue. And you're like, what, where the hell am I? What is going on? So I really like, I like his whole setup. Just like, okay, yeah, I'm in prison, but I'm just going to conjure this ball and chill.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he wants you to get him out. He ends up becoming your master trainer for sorcery in the game and really plot significant. I think we will probably will talk about him more in the last episode. Kind of what he says about that. Essentially, if you talk to his apprentice before this, he, you know, his apprentice said that, you know, told you that Freak was here and to go get him. Yeah. And he turns out to be like a really, really interesting NPC. But not really here. You just kind of, you get a key at the end of the level, and something that kind of annoys me that you have to do this backtracking to let him out. Mm. But yeah, it's worth it. If you're playing a magical character, you have to do it. Like, it's really a no brainer.
I usually wait till, if you're doing like the tenancy events, I usually wait till you get the key for Rydell and then just go back and free him then.
Yeah, yes. free everybody.
Yes, and then walk along every single hallway because I can't remember how to get to who or where anybody is.
Yeah.
Oh man, yeah. I get so lost in this area.
Yeah. Yep.
I forget what area I was saying it about. I was saying this about in Dark Souls, but there are just some places where I cannot assemble a mental map of it.
Probably the catacombs.
Yeah, like, I think or at that's least what it was,
That's what I would. I mean, that's where I feel that about Dark Souls.
Yeah, or even like until you memorize at the Duke's Archives when you're in the stacks there.
Yeah, you
know, these are architecturally very similar to mine.
The Duke's Archives thing is amazing to me now because like I can get through that stairway thing in, you know, 90 seconds.
Oh yeah,
like it's so easy, but it took me a real long time the first time.
Well, it's just that you would never think that you need to drop like off that ledge onto the moving stairwell. Like the first time I did that, I kept going, walking around, going, where should I go? I can't just drop down there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Good, because fall deaths are so inconsistent in both games, really. Sage Freak, you can come back for him later. As you're going around, they're very, what's the word for containing providence? there's a little bit of intentionality to what they give you. So you come across a black crossbow here, or sorry, a large crossbow, which ends up being real useful later on. That's very merciful.
What I saw that in your note. What are you referring to?
It's blue, like or by not the first item. Floor.
Why are you using it?
Oh, for it's an easy way to take out the fool's idol if you do not otherwise have a bow or the stats to use it, and then especially in 3-2, if you have no other ranged attacks, you can take out the flying gargoyle things.
Yeah,
like I say that just as like a okay, if you're not prepared for ranged, here's this baseline level thing that you can actually use to make this doable.
I thought so for the gargoyles. I've never used ranged attacks on the fool's idol.
Oh.
Like I always melee her. Yeah. It didn't even occur to me. So that's interesting. It'll be interesting when we talk about her.
Yeah.
Is it a good crossbow? I've never used it.
It's a crossbow.
It has an adjective, so I didn't know if it was like special.
Yeah.
Because the white bow is magical, and then maybe the black crossbow was also magical.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know if it's black or not. I think it's just a large crossbow. I may have misspoken.
Is the black crossbow.
Oh.
I'm fairly certain. Yeah. So I think so. I've been wrong before.
No, there's no such thing as a black crossbow.
Huh. There are black bolts. Yes. You get a crossbow with black bolts. That's what I'm thinking of.
Yeah. You know, that's where it like went in my mind, too. It's the heavy crossbow.
Yeah, with bolts. Yep.
Yes.
With special bolts. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, regardless of how you end up using that crossbow, you're eventually kind of making your way down to the bottom floor of this thing. When you get to the bottom floor, you will see something out of your periphery to your right that shoots soul arrows at you, and you might be thinking that it's the enemy that has been shooting soul arrows at you the entire time, because this whole level we didn't talk about it, but it's so dark.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of pitfalls. Mm-hmm. Too.
Yeah
So I mean, it's full of traps. Like, you have to be, you know, moving slowly, and you know, this is always true of Dark Souls, but like you will fall to your death if you get impatient.
Absolutely.
And even backtracking, like, because everything looks the same, you could be thinking you're running back to Frake because you picked up a key and you don't know if it's the right key, and actually just run off a cliff pretty easily. But
I fell off a ledge, I think the same ledge 3 times in my playthrough last night.
Yeah, and you never knew it was the same ledge. Like, it just like my first run through it, that happened a bunch, and now even when I've played it like several times, I just go real slowly. You know, and that's all there is to it. Helpful people will put markers on those.
But you can't.
That's a good place for. Yeah, you can't count on it. You cannot count on other people, it's true. Yeah. but yeah, so instead of it being a mind flayer, it's this fucking prisoner horde thing. This is incredible.
What is this thing? Like, is it just like a melted mass of prisoners that, and there's like a mind flayer in there shooting soul arrows or what?
It's straight out of Castlevania is what it is.
It's that worm thing in the sewer that was like viral on YouTube. That colony of worms.
Oh.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
No, I don't, but I have a very vivid picture in my head.
It's one of the most disgusting like YouTubes I've seen. Like, they're in the sewer and they're exploring it, and they find this like kind of mass of just kind of goo, you know, like slimy goo, but it reacts to the light.
Jesus.
Like, they bring the light up to it and it winces as a whole. And it's so unnerving. And I guess it's a colony of worms that are all connected and get some kind of fucking rat king thing. And that's what this reminds me of. Like, they're essentially the same shape and color. It's just the worm thing was much smaller, but for now.
And didn't have swords.
And didn't have, yeah, that's just a goofy attack.
Yeah.
That's the attack that's Castlevania-y about it.
Also, there's a recurring boss in Castlevania that is a writhing mass of corpses.
Yeah, which is called a Grand Floon, which is a Cat's Cradle reference.
Yep.
Yeah, which is cool. One of the tricks in this, when you first fight this guy, is that, like, what you want to do, he doesn't have any maneuverability because he is, you know, a giant ball of prisoners, is kind of get him on the other side of the pillars. But there are tons of prisoners imprisoned in jars behind you. And you'll lock onto them, which is really frustrating. And again, I just kind of thought of this like, oh, these people don't mean me any harm if I was trying to be a good guy, but I need to kill them because they keep confusing my fucking targeting. So on this playthrough, I ultimately ended up settling for a quality halberd, and I just did the R2 like just wide sweep around me and killed them all in one hit. I was like, everybody plays this club cranium, and then just, you know, went and then fought the prisoner thing.
Yeah,
how great is the halberd in this game? By the way, that's been my
like
weapon
lot.
On this playthrough. Yeah,
it took me. I never got into it in Dark Souls, but I'm really enjoying it now. Like, it does have a really interesting moveset. But the cool thing is you have such a wide variety with it. Like, by two handing it, you have this vertical right in front of you thing, and then you can very easily switch to multiple angles in front of you. Like, it takes a little while to get used to, but it's really good.
Yeah,
starting as a Temple Knight is. And it was almost easy mode going to second because that halberd is so powerful.
Yeah. It's pretty much when, I mean, I'll talk about it in the next episode, but it's pretty much what made me be able to beat the PvP encounter with the old monk is because I just had this range advantage on this guy and with the halberd. And
this is the first level where I have my meat cleaver.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
I love that thing.
Yeah. God, that is a great weapon.
It's so, yeah, and you get it so early, and it's so easy to get.
Yeah.
And you can, and that's so good for the mind flayers, because if you're doing kill them before they can do anything, you know, it's kind of shock and awe. Running R1 attack with the meat cleaver is just incredible. And it does it, like, there's nothing it doesn't stagger, you know? So, super good.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so this ball of corpses is not too difficult. You just have to know when you can be safe, when it doesn't, like, you know, put all of its swords out of it and start swinging them around. And it's just, that's the only one of these you fight.
There's like, one in 3-2.
Oh, you're right. You're right. I didn't write
it. There is one in 3-2.
Yeah, there's one in 3-2. But yeah, gross.
Yeah. You can just run past this thing too.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. So, and then after you leave this again, like, this is where the level you're seeing different shit. You end up on this bridge that leads to the church.
Yeah.
And this like massive arrow firing, it looks like, and this will be a reference that nobody will get, but in the movie Labyrinth, when they're in the oubliette, there's a thing called the cleaners. Like, do you remember the cleaners?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's, it's like the swirling just metal spikes and drills and all that thing. And that's what this is. It's like the cleaners.
I'd like to dive into why you think the labyrinth is obscure.
I thought that specific, the name of that, you know, contraption and labyrinth and that specific scene might be. I don't think labyrinth is necessarily obscure, but Yeah, I just didn't know whether anyone would know what I meant. If I was like, yeah, it's like the cleaners.
Okay. Knowing the scene helped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like an Arrow version of the cleaners, like shaped like a kind of has like a woman, like a mask at the top, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's like modeled after the queen or something.
Yeah.
It's just, I can't imagine any other purpose that this was designed for.
And like murdering people on the bridge.
It's a siege engine that is perfectly shaped to defend, I guess, to defend this cathedral. I don't know. But
yeah.
But I love that that scene where it's rolled out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The music there is really good. I think there's some music for that too, right? I'm not misremembering that, or maybe I'm thinking of.
If not, it's a very melodic audio cue.
Yeah. It fits the tone of that very well.
Yeah. And then the bridge covered in bloody, mangled corpses of people trying to run away. Yeah. Yep. the one dude who attempted to jump off the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He has a stone of ephemeral eyes, right? The guy who's off that, bridge. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. The speedrunners go through this. Like, they don't wait to go in the back way. They dodge past all of the arrows.
I just found this out yesterday. Someone in a chat mentioned it, and I was like, there's no way. So I had to look it up on YouTube, and it looks really difficult.
Yeah. Well, do they do, like, a lot of stamina damage? Like, it seems like I can block arrows all day. But, you know, is that true, or...
They're just straight up abusing iframes. So they're just literally fast rolling through it. And you get to a point where I think you have to kind of go to and get blocked by one of the ledges so that you can go for this next section. And then you just, and that's the funny part of this too, is when you do that, like, they didn't bother boarding up the sides or anything. Like, you figure they put like a gate or something, because you could just walk right around it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. I was just wondering if either of you guys had tried blocking the arrows with your shield.
Nah.
No.
I've never tried it.
Even though I recognize it would only be like a 4-minute run to get back to that point, I can't be bothered.
Yeah, it feels like a long way. Yeah. I should try that. I'm curious about it.
Yeah.
But I love the way it looks. I love that there are like, this is where Rydell's corpse is, right?
I think it's back in the. I've never done the event. I think it's back like on the second floor.
Okay, I thought because he. So we didn't talk about him. But when you run into him, it's in an interesting intersection of game mechanics and game story, because he's in soul form, trapped in this jail, and desperately wants to get back to his body to get an item.
Yeah.
Which the only unique thing you get. So if you come and you fight him in Black World Tendency, you get the phosphorescent pole, which has magic regen.
Yeah.
And the item description on it's interesting because, like, one, it lets us know that Rydell is actually related to the Alants. Mm-hmm. So this is a Boletarian nobleman here who's known as Little Alant. So, you know, the most, and he's older than Ostrava. So I'm guessing he's like the king's brother.
Yeah.
You know, maybe something like that. Or like, you know, some other royalty. And then he stole the phosphorescent pole from the Sky Witch.
I love that.
Yeah. I don't really understand what the Sky Witch is.
But you don't really need to, because it's a Sky Witch. Like, that says everything you need to know about it.
It paints a very clear picture, and that picture is also painted very clearly on the side of a van.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't read anything that ties it into any lore, like what, you know, this could be. There's only one kind of witch in the game, and it's definitely not a Sky Witch.
Yeah, all I can think of is like maybe somebody from the Shrine of Storms,
or maybe it's like a something referring to like a form of the old one, like that flies. Even though, like, I guess Yuria is up in a tower. I don't know. It's kind of, I mean, but there's nothing tied together with it. So
yeah.
I don't know what it is, and there's very little else to Rydell. Like, we just know he's the king's brother. Again, the same way, you know, I imagine him on kind of a mission here. You know, like maybe a diplomatic mission when things went down. Things went to shit.
Yeah, he's like the Crestfallen Warrior in the way that he is, you know, just like the Crestfallen Warrior is worried about what has happened to his actual body. Rydell really isn't.
Like, he's
like, yep, it's probably well and good rotted now. Oh, well, get this thing back for me.
I need that fucking, I need that pole.
Yeah.
Look, I've got the stones. I can get back to human form. I just need the item.
Yeah, I just need to get out of the jail. Yeah, I just need to be let out of this cage, human or phantom.
Yeah.
I guess I can't remember exactly where his. The reason why I thought that it was here is because you find the clever cat's ring or the clever rat's ring here.
Yeah, and he gives
you the doll rat's ring when you do him the favor. So maybe I thought it was the something like mixed those up in my mind. I thought this was where he died.
Yeah. Like also, I do not speak with any authority. I've never done this tendency event just because it's part one of a world and I haven't done all of the bosses to get tendency yet. So
yeah. Yeah. And you'd have to get down to black tendency, which means just murdering yourself like a bunch of times.
Yeah, I don't want
to
do that.
There's no fun. You can do that really easily. This one will be easy to do it when I eventually do it, but I haven't done it for this playthrough. Mm-hmm. I meant to.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's Rydell.
Yeah. The item that you need to proceed is the Warden's Key, which is just a little ways out in front of the Death Machine. So you have to grab it and then run back real quick. But this lets you get kind of to the center of the Panopticon, this little service hallway that is being guarded by more Mind Flayers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yep, yep.
Which eventually leads you back around behind the siege engine.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And again, the level is continuing to pour magical items on you. I think you can get a Mercury Rapier.
Yeah, yeah.
Here as well. Yeah, yeah, you get some good items.
You get an S-Doc here, which has a really neat moveset.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, yep. Yeah, all kinds of stuff. So this is a good area to go early for treasure.
Yeah.
If you can breathe it.
The Warden's Key opens up another door on the inside too that otherwise you can't get into. That also has tons of loot in it, if I remember correctly. I don't remember exactly what it was, but there was one area in there that none of the normal keys would work with. You had to have the Warden's Key. Again, going back to having to backtrack to get everything in this level.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So on your way back here, eventually you end up behind the kind of siege engine there, which just has a lever that just turns it off. So did you guys, when I turned it off and I went back onto the bridge to get the thing, were you guys imagining it turning back on?
Oh yeah.
Because I was like, somebody's going to turn this fucking thing on.
I thought it was going to be like a Sin's Fortress boulder trap situation.
Yeah. Like I was just going to start hearing a whirring and just be fucked.
I hit the lever for extra arrows.
Yeah, exactly. Yes. That thing would be awesome for PvP if you can turn it on and off.
Oh, you
can. I don't know if you can turn it back on or not, but if you could, that'd be fucking amazing.
You can do speculative cosplay. What if Patches got to Latria?
Yeah. Yeah. That'd be incredible. Yeah. I don't know if you can turn it back on or not though.
Oh.
So that's another thing to try. My list of things to try on the Latria Caesar engine.
Yeah.
Souls games are really weird about what you can interact with as an invader. Like
move
bridges, and but you can't sometimes, you know, move doors. It's really strange sometimes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep, yep, yep. But you get access to kind of these towers that you can climb up and down. One of them leads you to a long hallway towards a silver catalyst, and then the other leads you to kind of the plot important. Or at least for the boss, it's a part of the critical path of the game. Is this prisoner who is casting some kind of spell?
Yeah, yeah. And if it wasn't for my like, I do everything not critical before I do something critical, kind of heuristic, I would have. I've never had this boss resurrect and kind of do its gimmick because I was like, I saw the fog gate. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to go through that yet. That's obviously where the boss is. Mm-hmm. Let me explore the rest of the level. This guy seems like he's lying. People put liar tags all around him.
Yeah, yeah.
But you're right, he's just like weaving the spell looking down into the churchyard and just like, oh, you know, I mean no harm. I'm just a simple worshiper.
And, no, that's not true. Yeah. I'm the same way. I'd always, there's the fog door. I'm going to go everywhere else but that and then come back.
Yeah. Yep.
That actually really messed me up on the way to the, I don't know what you call the guy with the all the sorcery stuff. The guy that resurrects her. On the way over there, like, there's a spot where you can kind of fall down and there's an item.
And
they really screw you right there because if you're like, you fall down and you're like, okay, I've got this item and it's something dumb that's not worth falling down. And then you fall down again and you almost lose all of your health and there's like a black phantom person right there.
Ugh. Yeah.
I think it's some chick with a crossbow. I don't know if there's any kind of history to that, but it got me. My first playthrough, it got me really bad.
She's colloquially referred to as the baby nail black phantom, and it's because she was a cutscene from Sucker Punch.
Wait a minute, like the baby nail black phantom, that's who you fight on the way up to the
that's where Jeremy's talking about.
Oh, is it? Okay. Sorry.
Because the two hallways, that one of which leads to the sorcerer or the sorcerer Dregling, there's like a hidden item out one of the windows you can fall down.
Oh, okay. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. I got a little lost because I didn't do that
because it's Latria.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Isn't she called the baby snail Black Phantom because she has the baby snail?
Well, I was making a joke. She's not actually a deleted scene from Sucker Punch.
Okay, sorry. Fans do weird things and they become like canonical. But
that is true.
Yeah,
Zack Snyder hasn't gotten his greasy fingers into the Souls games yet.
Ugh. Oh God, so, please no, please
not
no,
even, not even in jest. Not yeah. even in jest.
Well, if he did it, there'd be like one sequence from the game that was done like perfectly.
Oh,
you know, like because that's what he does in his movies. He like adapts things and then like does one really amazing sequence that's really, really literal and great, and then misses the tone on like a lot of other stuff.
Yeah.
So
he would make a really good trailer for a Souls game. And
that's absolutely. Or the opening credits would be incredible.
Yeah, there you go.
Those opening credits to Watchmen are so good. So good.
Yeah. But man, fuck some baby nail Black Phantom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she's got it's interesting. She's got the thieves ring, but it works differently for her.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's literally invisible until she gets within range.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep, and her weapon causes plague, so...
Oh, I've always...
I did not know that, really?
Yeah, baby nail causes plague.
Yeah. How'd you get hit? Weren't you shielding up?
I was shielding up, but, you know, it happens.
She got behind you?
Yeah. Well, it was in my first playthrough, mostly. This time I was fine. I ran up with my meat cleaver and then just knocked her down and then... killed her. I feel weird saying that. I two-tapped her, right?
Yeah. That doesn't sound weird.
That doesn't sound weird at all.
Yeah. I just two-tapped her. Am I right, bros? High fives.
Yeah, that's what the special forces call it when you plug them two times and then they're done. You're sure, right?
Double tap.
Yeah.
I don't think I've talked about it since you haven't got to five yet, but that's the one of my favorite things about Dark Souls is when you catch the plague and the big message appears. It just says, "You got the plague."
Welcome to the world of plague.
Yeah.
God. There's like, I think I can't remember if I've referenced in the show before, but one of my favorite moments in Final Fantasy IX is you're searching around for Zodiac stones and you kind of do it by clicking around in the background. And eventually in one little village, you're in the rubble outside the village and you're just kind of clicking around and you click and the message just comes up and goes, "You got cancer," because you picked up the cancer Zodiac stone. Yeah. Oh, well, shit. The story took a weird turn. Yeah. Zidane!
a very long side quest.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's how Garnet gets her second hair or third hairstyle.
Yeah.
From then on out, it just turns into Breaking Bad, the video game.
Yeah, Zidane's got to provide for Quina because she fucking eats and eats. So.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. That's pretty good. But yeah, baby Black Nail Phantom. What?
Yeah. The trick to her is actually waiting for her to fire because her reload takes a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So you can usually get in a backstab.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. Speaking of afflictions, status effects, we never really talked about it, but the prisoners who hide out in the Iron Maidens, which are the closest analog to treasure chests that you have in this game, and those ones being the closest analog to a mimic, they poison you, and it's really shitty because I didn't have any lotuses at this point, and
it's interesting. Like, you get lotuses like crazy in this level. Like, because the dreadlings stop them. Oh.
Yeah.
I found, like, that's the one, like, mechanical benefit to killing dreadlings is they have a pretty high drop rate for the different lotuses.
Oh.
You get soldiers and the other one.
The only stuff that I get with any regularity here is spice. and I think that a couple of people have written in asking us to make jokes about it being Old Spice.
Mm, there is Old Spice.
There is Old
They're
Spice.
They're not Dune fans.
I was immediately going to Dune, so.
Yeah. I think they're fans of popular P&G brands.
P&G brand? Is that Procter & Gamble?
Yes.
Who refers to that as P&G? Is that a thing? Or did you just coin that?
No, it's Cincinnati.
Okay.
Maybe. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. I mean, don't apologize for being from Cincinnati. You just dropped that as if everyone would know that you meant Procter & Gamble.
Okay.
You learned that from watching old episodes of WKRP, so don't worry. Yeah.
Oh, I love that show.
There you go.
Oh man, the fun part about that game is trying to figure out when I'm joking and when Gary isn't.
Yeah.
uh,
WKRP in Cincinnati is fine. There's no shame there.
Yeah. you get past Baby Black Nail Phantom. What?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
And then you go in. Well, we didn't really talk about it, but the run up to this is amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The way that church looks from the outside,
mm-hmm.
like that's an awesome view. Like this thing
fantastic
is fantastic.
Like architecture and stuff.
Yeah, and the architecture in general is really great in this level. Like I love the end of this zone as well.
Mm-hmm.
The 3-3 room is one of my favorite set pieces in any of the Souls games. but yeah, this church just looks really amazing and intimidating. And you go in and you fight the Fool's Idol, which is the pinwheel of Demon Souls bosses.
Yeah.
Yeah. In many ways.
So I think I've died to her like twice.
Hmm.
So get that out. I don't know if I should be ashamed of that or not, but
no, the paralysis traps I think are tricky.
Yeah
because my first playthrough, when I got, the first time I fought her was with the Royal, so I was doing all sorcery, which is kind of like easy mode Demon Souls.
Yeah,
even then, until you kind of figure out where those traps spring, like it's really easy to get caught in one and get, especially if you don't have a lot of vit or a lot of vitality, it's really bad.
yeah So, like, the first time I played, I was Royal as well. I never ventured out into the pews. I never got out into the benches where the worshipers were. I just kind of stayed around the periphery and then just ran to whichever version of this four-armed lady was shooting the biggest soul ray.
Yeah. She's, when she comes in, I really like her, like, lowering down to the the ground.
Absolutely.
And then her kind of like giggles when she's fighting you. But all in all, it's like it's a really relaxed boss fight.
Yeah. I mean, even like the music is not insistent at all.
Yeah. And she's not, not very aggressive. And the you do have a lot of safe zones in this level. First time I did the Royal method, I feel like, but I also still ended up meleeing her a little bit. And the trick, I mean, she's harder than Pinwheel because you can't literally kill her in one go unless you have a really strong weapon. She's trying to tempt you into approaching her on her grounds because of these paralysis traps and because of this, the geography, both like organic and not. So, you know, the pews are in the way and then the worshipers, which don't do anything really to hinder you other than just be there.
Yeah.
You know, and kind of act as human closets, human armoires in your way.
I love the trick to them. They will always, point to the true false idol.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And kind of worship it. So, which, yeah, that's great. And so, you know, you might be tempted to clear them out because they are this impediment, but you can get a mechanical benefit from them. But, I tend to, would take my breaks to heal up and everything, but I would just, make my way towards one of them, you know, avoiding the traps on the floor and then just kind of smack her around a whole bunch. Like, she does a lot of damage, but if you, not enough to usually kill me in one hit. Like, I can usually survive a couple of hits. So, just run up and slash her up.
Mm-hmm.
And that does it. Like, she is pretty easy.
Yeah.
This is probably my favorite track in the soundtrack as well. Like, the boss music in this area is just fantastic. Like, I can listen to it over and over again.
Yeah.
It's real good. And we brought it up a couple times, but the boss, like, the music in Demon's Souls is so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A huge amount of variety.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Just different modes, other moods, other than just like, you know,
exactly.
Viking fight. you know, a lot of just like different things they're trying to make you feel. And this is a really like morally queasy, really abhorrent kind of situation they have going on here. Like, this is a really evil act. In this game, like having these poor dreadlings like worship this thing that's just kind of designed to you know, that's false. Mm-hmm. Like setting up and taking advantage of these people's religion.
Yeah.
You know? Real gross.
Mm-hmm.
So in theory, and I don't want to get too much into 5-2 because I know you guys are doing 3-2 for the next episode, but in theory they're making these people worship this false idol in order to somehow feed the kind of central beating heart of 3-2. Like, is that, I know there's no real lore to support it, but like it kind of, Otherwise, what would they be? Why would they be going through all of this trouble, I guess, to set up a false idol and to get all these worshipers in here? So I was kind of curious to hear your thoughts on that.
One of the things is that Frake later says that a demon soul is not just its own. It's a conglomeration of lesser souls.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So part of it is to increase the strength of the old monk, or essentially like his robes, you know, because it's collecting souls makes the demon stronger. And then they're also doing other things with these things. So all of the creatures you fight in Tutu are prisoners. They're warped in some way.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, they're turning them into these gargoyle things, which, like, I feel dumb about it, but I just figured it out this playthrough. Like, oh, every one of these drops a soul. I wonder why that is. Oh, shit. Like, there's something inside there. You know, there's a one that was once human. And then the man scorpions, which are clearly some kind of, like, so they're using them. Like, they're just kind of repurposing them, either sucking out their souls to get more power or turning them into soldiers.
Yeah.
Like, there's a line about the old monk being able to create demons. You know, like, we are fools to think only demons could do demons' work.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cool. So, the only thing, like, you know, why the trouble? Because if that was the case, that they're just trying to, you know, kill people to get their souls to, you know, why not just, you know, go full, you know, just atrocity on them and march them in and kill them one by one, would be, you know, aside from doing it for the evil, would be that maybe doing it over time helps and putting in this system, this culture around worshiping and getting a steady stream of people who are going after it, just kind of, you know, puts a bunch of souls in the pantry to keep the power going, right?
Yeah. They're also demons. Like, they could just be doing it because it's more sadistic to do it that way.
Yeah,
that's what I was about to say, the same thing. Yeah.
Like I said, putting aside doing it for the evil.
Yeah. It's also, you know, when you have a big stack of unknown soldier souls and you have to eat them one at a time, there's no reason why they shouldn't have to eat them one at a time, too.
Yeah.
Are you saying that all of this area is just an interface problem for
this? We're just navigating the old monk's menu screen. It's like he's playing Mass Effect. It's fucking impossible to get around in here.
Yeah.
But yeah, for some reason, kind of, you know, not that exciting. Oh, I mean, we should talk about like the actual gimmick too. So if you manage to kill the right one, it's not even necessarily the right one, because if you didn't kill that sorcerer we talked about, she comes back to life.
Yeah.
I've never done that because I do that exploration thing. What happens?
He yells down. He yells something, actually.
Okay.
I should just and keep looking open
at all
times.
Never done it myself. Yeah.
Yeah, it's actually really interesting dialogue because it reveals him to be something more of a masterminder. At least he's in the know.
I wonder if, like, do you at that point are you just stuck in this boss fight you can't win because he keeps bringing her back to life, or do you get shunted out of the fog doors, or do you go back to the Archstone, or
the way I believe it happens? And again, no authority on this. Is I think that there's just no place to go, so you walk back out the fog door. When you walk back in, it starts.
Oh, you're right. Yeah. I've read that before. You're able to walk back out.
Yeah.
So, it's the only fog door that you can do that with.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think in any of the Souls games.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting. Like, yeah. So, yeah, that's I've read that before.
Good.
I was going to say, just as an aside, when I Googled Demon Souls Fool's Idol Resurrection, like, one of the first links is a Fool's Idol WTF on the GameSpot form.
I love those artifacts that always turn up real high in search results.
So yeah, somebody was having a harder time with this than we did.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the dialogue. Ha 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 ha. Ye fools know nothing of this world. The idols shall be revived for eternity. Rejoice, fools, for it is as you wished. Ha 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 ha.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes it a little less like, I thought, a little less like, I guess I never thought it was unfair, but it makes it a kinder gimmick in that, mm-hmm. like, he immediately reveals that he's in on it.
Yeah.
And you can just leave and go murder him.
Yeah.
I guess if you didn't see the way up to him, because it's not necessarily obvious or well lit, like, it might be maddening to think that you had to explore more of Latria and just kind of like find, you know, those confusing corridors.
Yeah.
Find out where this guy's hiding out.
I'm positive there exists somebody in this world who went back to the beginning of the level and then just immediately started going to every single fucking place trying to find this guy. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I like to think of him as like a promoted guard.
Yeah.
You know, like he's just he's on the inside. Also kind of weird about when you actually defeat this lady, is behind the altar, there's the baby nail.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. I mean, I guess it's like a sacrificial dagger. Would be the way the flavor text of it doesn't allude to that.
The description says that it's favored by assassins who are women and children.
Yeah.
Or women and children who are assassins.
Yeah. So, I mean, imagine the idea is just that that's what they use to kill the people
mm-hmm.
for sacrifices. But it's a little bit weird. It's not a very good item. From what it looks like, it doesn't look like something you really want to use too much.
Yeah.
I've never used it though, so I could be wrong.
Yeah.
Isn't there a set of armor as well that has a very similar description where it's used by a group of women and royal assassins? I want to say it's female only. I don't know how I would even try to search for that.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I like the idea of there being this kind of like secret order of lady assassins.
Exactly, like kind of operating throughout Boletaria. Like, okay, because you can see why that would be there if they're trying to, like, if they were trying to get rid of this demon and then it didn't work out so well. And Rydell was like, okay, I guess I'll go over there and do it myself.
Yeah. Yeah, huh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's got to be here for some reason. Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know, though.
Got you. There's nothing in the game to support it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, again, like classic bonfiresidechat.txt. I wonder if it's not the assassin's gear, is it? Because you get that in this level too, and that would make sense for there to be assassins kind of, and then you run into that Black Phantom. Like there being for some reason for assassins to be kind of staging a siege that you're kind of in the middle of.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
Huh.
No, because that just said it's just for thieves and assassins.
Thieves, assassins, thieves. When's it gonna end, Remy? I don't know, but I mean, there's an assassin set there for some reason.
Yeah.
There's a big nail there for some reason.
I don't know.
I don't know either.
But I think that is about it. Now, should we talk about tendency stuff? It's not. I mean, we already talked about Rydell. We already talked about the Black Tendency bringing you more. What are they? The Mind Flayers.
We should also talk about how when you beat her, gargoyles carry you up to the next archstone. And the next archstone is not immediately, or the archstone is not immediately apparent. So like, yeah. You're just like, well, fuck. Oh, boy,
wait a minute. Where's my soul?
Wait a minute.
I kind of thought they were going to do it like a trick. Like, okay, I'm going to go up here and now there's going to be a whole different boss that I have to be.
Yeah, I thought so too.
That was way too easy.
Well, since her whole thing was like false versions,
mm-hmm.
right? Like that's mm-hmm. like everything about her gimmick. Like I thought so too. Like, oh, there's going to be the real, that was real easy. They're the real queens up here. You know, not the case.
Which is a hilarious fake out for the boss in 3-2 where that exact same thing happens.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's true.
Nothing is as it seems in Natria.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So like tendency, I think we more or less got it.
Yeah.
I think you're right. Yeah. So, yeah, that's 3-1. One of like the scariest and best levels in all the Souls games.
Yeah, I think that this might be my favorite. Like, I love 3-2, but 3-1 is very much my speed.
Yeah, 3-1 is great. 3-2 is great, and 3-3 is again, like I said, one of my favorite set pieces in all of these games. Like, Latria mm-hmm. is just badass.
Yeah,
and again, it's just that conciseness of story. I think.
Yeah.
You know, there was this royal family. Someone left and got corrupted and turned it into this.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And it's it's just scary as hell. Like once you get past like 3-1 is tense because of those mind flayers and you hear all the weird audio stuff and you're just kind of freaking out a little bit. And then you get to 3-2 and then there's like that subtle heart beating throughout the entire level. Like it's just scary. Like it's just absolutely terrifying.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. This was one of the things Will, who has been on the show before, who's on the record as enjoying Demon Souls more than Dark Souls. Like before I played Demon Souls, I was like, without spoiling would be the word for that. Without spoiling it, tell me why that is. And he's just like, well, you know, Dark Souls doesn't have like a Lovecraftian insane asylum in it. And I was like, oh fuck.
Well, there we go.
Huh. Very well then. Let's go buy a PS3.
Yeah.
But yeah, like Latria is so badass, and like this stage like sets the tone so well. It's the first like I love Boletaria a lot, but it feels more gamey and it's a real like real world kind of setting. And then you know Stonefang is mines. Like there's dragons and lava, but this is the first like this is a real Hail Mary. Like I can't think of another environment in a game that's like 3-2.
Yeah.
You know?
Me either. Like, it's just batshit insane.
Yeah. So good.
Screw it. Let's just do episode 3-2 right now.
Okay.
Let's go.
Starting up.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And I'm Jeremy Greer.
And we're so sorry, Murph.
Yeah. That's gonna be good times. So that's what we're doing. We're at the top of the cathedral, and we're going to continue to go into the heart of Latria and figure out what became of the queen, and really, more importantly, the old man that was exiled.
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
As an aside, the armor I was talking about was the Rogue's armor, which talks about a secret society. An equipment of mass society who meet in secret to discuss the harnessing of souls.
That sounds like Mephistopheles.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you actually get the gold mask from Mephistopheles.
And this is the thing, and you get this in 3-2, like, by the ruins of the thing?
You get it in 3-1 as a tenancy event. Rydell opens up a new wing where that stuff is.
Oh, okay. Interesting. Yeah, because you find that gold mask. Later, or the Astok you find later. Mm-hmm. One item that's part of that set you find later in this world, too. So there's something going on with, like, the Soul Society here. I mean, and obviously we know that a little bit from Yurt.
Mm-hmm.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh.
That makes a little bit of sense with, if there is a royal court here and they are concerned with magic.
Yeah. Yeah, so they're practicing. It makes tons of sense. But that's a nice, like, what a good job being, like, subtle.
Yeah.
Like, lore, Demon Souls. Yeah. Like, we spend a lot of time trying to connect dots and everything, and that actually connects really well.
Yeah.
Good call, Jeremy.
Neat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the armor looks legit too. If you want to put a link in the description, because I'd never seen it before, actually equipped. So it looks really, really cool. It's some of the better looking armor I've seen in the game.
Is it just for ladies?
It's just for the ladies. Though.
Oh, I need to get that then.
The link will be just for the ladies too, Cole. Set up a gender wall.
take that test where you have to discern colors from it from the other.
Yeah, 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 exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So on the way of plugs, Jeremy, where can people find you on the internet?
The YouTube page is, as Cole mentioned earlier, NotECEC, youtube.com/NotECEC. That's where I post funny and weird and dumb Dark Souls videos, lots of karmic justice. I have a gimmick build called Fat Tarkus that's where I keep people trapped up in sins. That's hilarious. nothing like a 20-minute invasion to really make people sit you hate. And then I run the Tumblr, darksoulshaters.tumblr.com, which collects hate mail from the Soul series. I've because of some personal issues, I haven't been as active on that, but there's at least one post every single day. Probably starting next week, I'll go back to my 2 or 3 day post. And I still have tons of it to go through, guys. Even if I quit today and the Tumblr just automatically posted it, I think I would go for another 3 months posting hate mail. and if you're easily offended, please do not come to the website, because this is the worst language on the internet.
It's a good place to read about idiots calling each other faggots.
Yeah.
Like that is what it is. Like, it's essentially Xbox Live, the website.
Yeah.
But it's you're holding a dark circus mirror up to it. It's not you're not participating in it. You're just like, what a bunch of idiots.
Yeah.
It's also funny just because of people, it's a real window into people's opinions on how you should play Dark Souls PvP versus how you shouldn't. Like, I mean, some of these people are like, oh, you can't use that sword. And I'm like, what? It's in the game.
My favorite, there's an entry for today. I opened it up to see if there were any choice gems. First one, September 26th, TSX Assassin with a 4 and a 1 instead of an A and an I. He just says simply, all lowercase, no punctuation, are you gay?
So apparently there's some, in some of these people's minds, there's some kind of connection between your sexual orientation and how well you play Dark Souls. Like, what a weird prejudice.
Oh, it's, man. Go down to Nightray 45's, where he says, that's your new tag, fag. It's me, the fag loser. And I'm like, what is that? This doesn't even make good sense.
Yeah, parse that out.
this doesn't mean that much of anything, but the avatar is a lady.
Yeah, that doesn't, believe me when I say that does not mean anything.
Okay. All right.
I bet you that there are statistically insignificant numbers of ladies who have called people a fag on the internet. Like, it's probably happened once in the history of time, but like, it probably, it's not, you know, on Xbox Live, it probably hasn't happened that often.
For as little credit as I give men in general, I give less credit to humanity as a whole. I think it happens pretty often.
Yeah, exactly.
Definitely go to those places. Mm-hmm. I run a Tumblr called Spooky, me and Cole, and Cole contributes, spookyskeletonpics.tumblr.com. There are two companion Tumblrs now. There's coolwizardpics.tumblr.com and starcravingslad.tumblr.com. Your source for slad-ass slads. which probably isn't as sustainable but I saw the Wikipedia. I was, you know, doing the normal, like a pretty frequent thing where I'm looking at the Wikipedia entry for Dungeons and Dragons Monsters and just in general, and the picture of the slad is so good. Yeah. And I was just like, this guy's slad ass. And then then it just kind of went from there. So love slads, love wizards, love skeletons. please contribute to those blogs if you have some choice picks.
Yeah. No, share them. We need to get all of them.
Yeah, eventually I probably will have every picture of a slad on the internet up on there, because there aren't that many.
And then you just print out the whole site and send it to the Library of Congress?
Yeah.
My work here is done.
All under slad. It's going to be the new thriller with Catherine Zeta-Jones and Denzel Washington. What do you mean we have to file under slad? What's this mean? Get the files.
Does this have a Kickstarter page? I'm all in.
I could really fucking penny arcade it and do a Kickstarter for $5 since I already afforded to do it. Stretch goals like a douchebag.
Jesus. Hey, you know, we got a hot dog stand in Alabama funded, okay?
Yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man.
But there's also pod stuff.
Oh,
that we That's why I talk about them Tumblrs.
Yeah. Duckfeed.tv is the podcast network that you're listening to the stuff from. There are plenty of shows. Watch out for Fireballs, Abject Suffering, and The Level for video game stuff.
Mm-hmm. And then for comedy stuff, you can listen to The Pitch, which is wrapping up. And then get in now, listen to the backstory. Pilot Season, which is a variety show. And Those Damn Ross Kids, which is a comedy show with Cole and his brother.
Mm-hmm. That's coming back soon. Don't worry.
Yeah. Yeah, but the archives are evergreen.
Yes.
So go back in. Like, somebody, you know, stabbing somebody in the eye with a dildo in Florida, like, isn't the kind of thing that has a shelf date.
Yeah.
So, you know, just go find an old one, and something terrible will happen in Florida. And,
something terrible is happening everywhere.
Yeah, right now in Florida, somebody is doing something with something you're not supposed to. And it's going to end up on a Google alert tomorrow. Are you still compiling stuff, Cole, while your guys are on hiatus?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you have, like, a ridiculous folder of just... You know,
I've got a text file. Don't worry.
Yeah. Okay.
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. We're good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I think that's network stuff. You know, ratings, reviews on iTunes, you know, the stuff. That's the currency. That's what we go by. You can like us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/bonfiresidechat. We have a lively discussion happening there, you know, recently around Dark Souls 2, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. Good.
By way of actual currency, mm-hmm. if you go to duckfeed.tv/tipjar, mm-hmm. you can you know, use the Amazon link. You can buy some stuff on the store. There's all kinds of stuff you can do to actually fiscally support the show, mm-hmm. which is not free for us. So the it's every little bit of that counts.
Yeah. And I would like to issue a preemptive and posthumous thanks to anybody and everybody who's listening who may have attended the Portland Retro Games Expo. This comes out the day after our live show, and also on the last day of the expo itself. We're recording a little bit early, but if you showed up, hey, we really are happy that you came. And if you didn't, we are sorry that you missed out on the good time.
Yeah, yeah, it was a good time. unless we died at it. And then,
well, this is sent to auto post, so if we did die at it, thanks everybody. We really enjoyed it.
Yeah, we like doing the show. And, if you can get in touch with my girlfriend, I think she'll take care of my cat until eventually she'll talk to my ex. And
download this before the servers are shut off when the bill goes into default.
Yeah, Jeremy, do you have any last will and testament kind of things to throw on the podcast in case you die between now and when it comes out?
Please delete all of my internet history.
No, he keeps watching that fucking scene from Silence of the Lambs.
Out of context, some of it could look really weird. Yeah.
I don't want anybody to draw conclusions.
Yeah. Yeah. And as always, if there is a next time,
if there is a next time, I just want to go home.
Yep. So the world might be mended.
Umbasa.
Umbasa.
And we all pray that we will have far more soon. Some of our landings were desperate adventures. We are now prepared to meet the inevitable counterattacks with power and with confidence.
My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
And I'm Jeremy Greer.
And you're listening to Bonfireside Chat Appendix, an undead second favorite,
where we ask you to reach out and touch the demon inside of us. And this week we are touching your responses to World 3-1 of Demon's Souls. Thank you so much for sticking around, Jeremy.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So not an awful lot of responses this week. We're a little bit off rhythm because we're recording early for the Portland Retro Games Expo. If you're listening to this, you're like, damn it, I missed it. We'll read your 3-1 responses for 3-2 and 3-3.
Oh, yeah. And actually, being honest, if you have something to say about 1-1, we'll probably still read it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, there's no timed missions in this open world podcast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you want to get started with Alex? Cool.
Yes. So this is the errata where we correct things that we say wrong, mostly me, especially in this case. Alex, via contact, says, Skurvir doesn't actually take the Dragonbone Smasher from you. He only wants to see it, which makes sense, considering all his dialogue about it is just a remark about how unwieldy and worthless it is. Why would a wanderer want to carry around one of those? So I think I misspoke last week, and I said, like, oh, he trades that for the pure gray stone or whatever it was. But in reality, he just gives it to you as a reward for letting him see.
Yeah, I might have made that mistake, too. Like, I could have very easily misspoke, too. So yeah. I don't know if that was necessarily you. It could have been me that fucked that up.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they may have misheard me. Like, I didn't say that he took it. I said he took a gander of it.
Oh, okay. There you go. Yeah, he took his peepers off of your face and onto the Dragonbone Smasher.
Yeah.
I haven't had a chance to listen to the episode yet, but I'm just going to say you were both wrong about it.
Most likely true. I was probably thinking, like, that's right, Cole. In my internal monologue, even if Cole said it.
This was also submitted by Andrew, so both of you corrected us, and we thank you.
Yeah, thanks, Team Correction. Thanks, Team Skurver.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll go ahead and read responses about the area. This first one is from Murph Murphy. The only one that has a response. And Murph says, man, I love this whole area. It's so D&D, survival horror, puzzly, and action all wrapped up in a flavorful bundle. I'm not someone who notices audio readily, but 3-1 with the chimes, the random help me, and the spectral singing just works here. Mechanically, the difficulty in 3-1 is in this really nice sweet spot. Enemies are hard, but not insurmountable. The level is long, but the shortcuts are plentiful. In the invasion theme, does anyone get the impression that the Mind Flayers are an invading force here? Well, one that already won. The people in the tower had two equally terrible choices. Stay down in the lower levels and face becoming food, or face whatever had transformed the upper levels.
Yeah.
I think the Mind Flayers were put into power by the old monk.
Yeah.
Here. I never got the impression the Mind Flayers ate the prisoners, though. Did either of you guys get that?
No, I kind of always looked at them as guards. Just patrolling the area to make sure that nobody's getting out of line, basically.
Like, yeah.
To make sure that everybody's staying in the cages until they're ready to be whatever.
To be added to the collective soul?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man. You were looking particularly liquid today. I've got a job for you.
something De La Soul. But it's I figure it's kind of like when you work at a restaurant, you're not really allowed to eat the food, but if something gets fucked up with it, they don't want to waste it, so they just eat it. So, like, you know, if like one of them, you know, like two prisoners get into a fight and one of them's like, oh gosh, he's gonna die and we can't get him up there in time, there's no reason it should go to waste.
Yeah. Or like, you know, maybe they're just giving Rydell like stones of ephemeral eyes and then just chop it down on him.
That's true.
We just love killing that royal.
Using people as a human larder is a real recurrent theme in this show. I was gonna say in these games, but that's not. It's always been a real stretch. It's really just between me and you.
Well technically, Laurentius in Dark Souls is set up to be ready to be eaten too, right?
That's what he says. Yeah.
So yeah. I mean, you're not far off the mark.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can happen. Don't be nervous about visiting me, Cole. I swear I'm not going to harvest you in any way.
Yeah. No, I think we both arrived at that with the Titanite Demon, and we've just extrapolated upon it from there. We've gotten a taste of it, if you will. And
we can't get it
out of our heads. Yeah. So we just run circles. It just runs circles. And I wake up in the middle of the night sweating from some terrible dreams, and I hear whispers.
Yeah, that's the long pig and the short of it.
So. Oh!
Because I'm bum.
Where's my bell? I don't know where my bell is.
Ding. That'll make me think a mind flayer is coming.
That's the long pig and the short of it. That was really good. That may be my favorite thing you've ever said.
Oh, thanks.
That's really good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jeremy, do you want to read Bobby's Just Funnin'?
Sure. Bobby says via contact, hoping you guys can help me out and gearing up for Dark Souls 2. What is the quote best or most active Dark Souls forum or community site out there? I'm betting that starting off there will be a lot of online chatter because no one will know what is going on in the game, and I want to get on a board with honest, helpful people and not just a bunch of trolls. So Bobby, I'm going to tell you,
you got 10 bucks.
If you have $10, I have a forum for you. The Something Awful forums are great, although you probably will get trolled.
Yeah,
well, just lurk. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, like you have to, yeah. Like, there's like an admissions process for the Something Awful forums, which is why it's good. Like, you know, get the tone of it before you start, you know, spouting off, and then don't do things that you hate other people doing.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I can see from your response, like you use punctuation, like this doesn't, you didn't say lol at the end of every sentence. So you should be okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, it is the best forum that's ever been or ever will be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and there's currently three Dark Souls threads, so if one of them doesn't work,
they all move. There's another one. They all move incredibly fast.
Yep, and they'll also be considerate about spoilers too. Like you can trust, like you'll be able to. So with a game this big, I wouldn't be surprised if there was a spoiler thread and non-spoiler thread.
Yeah,
that started for Dark Souls 2. But if not, people are very considerate about spoiler tags. If somebody calls somebody else out on them, they get put up almost right away. So it's pretty much like it's my favorite place to learn about Dark Souls.
Yeah.
And then the other thing for community is probably people are going to be doing, you know, the kind of standbys who do Dark Souls videos now will continue to do so. So the people who you like who do Dark Souls videos will probably do good Dark Souls 2 videos. It won't be so much community as far as interaction. You know, like the people who comment on like Vadi's videos like are not necessarily people who I'd want to, you know, some of they're fine, but like I don't know their quality. But, you know, I'm sure he'll have good content that comes out.
Yeah.
Related to it.
That actually informed a lot of me buying Dark Souls 2 on the 360, was specifically so I could record video from it. Because I think it'd be fun to be, you know, kind of the right on the spot when the zeitgeist hits with, you know, stupid videos or whatever.
we're definitely trying to do that with the show.
Yeah.
Like I'm expecting, and you know, not to be crass or markety, like I'm expecting a big uptick in show numbers when that game comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to have to get a capture card between now and then because I want to run Demon Souls anyway. But I want to eventually get it for Dark Souls 2.
Yeah. I mean, and kind of the, again, crass version of that is, you know, we're going to be here too if you listen. So,
Oh, yeah. Like, we're a good community. How about facebook.com/bonfireside chat?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, cause, I mean, there will be good community.
It's incredibly supportive there. Everybody there is, like, super cool.
Yeah, Allison is going to do amazing Lego art
for
Dark Souls 2, and it's going to be incredible, and you're going to love it, and you're going to wish there was a Dark Souls Lego set, too.
I can't believe those pictures that she's been curating. That's just amazing.
I need to get my shit together and put those up on the main site. I've got her permission.
Yeah, she's great. Yeah. Like, she does really good work.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah.
Do you want to close us out, Cole, with
Yacht? Yacht, yes. Actually, I just wanted to say one more thing about the Something Awful. Like, the $10 is going to seem like kind of steep. Like, why did I pay $10 to? I joined like 7 years ago. I've probably gotten like thousands of hours of entertainment out of it, and also these shows. So
yeah.
You know, it's good places.
Me too.
Yeah.
Like a bunch of the guests who we've had on the show, we've met through there. Both people who have other shows and people who are just awesome people. And then I originally joined it in order to buy a computer from their buying and selling forum because someone gave me a tip it was a good deal. So I did it, like it paid for itself. Like I bought, you know, like it's so useful for everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like it is one of the strongest recommendations I can give for anything.
I joined Something Awful to pirate the new Tool album. Like back in 2001. I don't know if y'all remember where Something Awful used to have music section or whatever. Yeah, file section. And I just had to have that Tool album, man. 2001, Jeremy just had to get into it. So, yeah.
And now, kind of awesomely, like they're really against that shit.
Yeah.
You know,
they have reversed. Yeah.
Yeah. I've described it before, I think, as like a beneficial. Like authoritarian state.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, imagine a dictatorship where you agree with everything the dictator wants.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it is. Like, it just conforms everyone else to be what I want out of a forum.
It's 1984 and you are O'Brien.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, it's great. Low taxes are benevolent O'Brien.
A lot of fun going through the leper colony just to see why people got banned.
I love doing that. And sometimes
it's so hilarious.
Good. Like, yeah. Like, nice post, lol. And it's just because they use lol. I hate reading lol. Good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Creating this culture, low tax. Big, big low tax.
Sorry, wow.
It's okay. Did you jam some cream?
Yeah.
Between episodes?
Yeah, between episodes I did. A whole week of jamming some cream. I'll drop a marker there.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I thought we were jamming chicken, not cream. What happened?
It's cream of chicken.
Yeah.
Oof.
Sorry. I think I scooted my chair back about 6 to 8 inches when you said that.
Just go to ecreamofchicken.com for all of your...
Yeah, for your e-cream.
But
you put those in e-cigs. Just for a thicker flavor.
Chicken-flavored e-cigs.
Yeah, I just get some creamy vape. Just become a creamy ass vape ape. Smoke it up.
Yeah, I went to buy a pack of cigarettes at the store the other day, and the lady was like, "Do you want to try these Camel?" Like, and I don't even remember what the name of it was. Like, they taste like lime and cherry. And I was like, "Dude, do you have a cigarette flavored cigarette? Because that's all I need."
I'm a smoker. I can't taste anything anyway.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have a salt flavored one? Because then I can taste it. Yeah. I actually like when I was at PAX. My buddy Nick uses e-cigs. I'm like, I'm not any kind of, you know. I don't do any. I don't smoke. I don't do any drugs really or anything. But I tried it because I was really drunk, and it does taste really good. Like it tasted like, you know, vanilla caramel, like just taste in your mouth. So I can kind of see it, but I you know,
but also like has a stimulant and neurotoxin in it.
Well, and it's just like I just can't see myself. Like it doesn't fit in with my identity. Like I don't judge anybody for it, but I just can't see myself like walking around doing it,
pretending to be a Bluetooth wizard.
Yeah. I don't think, I mean, you know, like I said, Nick's a really good buddy of mine. Yeah. He does. I don't think any less of him.
I
just can't, it'd be, you know, it just doesn't, you know, just be, you know, it'd be weird.
Yeah.
But yeah, I could see the appeal because it is, it is pleasant.
Yeah.
Vaping.
Vaping my chicken cream.
just vaping cream. Got some pubes on my things and I'm vaping cream.
Anyway, EOTS says via contact.
Mm-hmm.
All that stuff is going to be nonsensical to anybody who listens. Like all that's going to come afterwards. That is in the deleted scenes. So you're getting a preview.
Yeah. So. Yeah, I'll put in a note for what fingin bugs and or bugin things and vaping cream mean.
Oh man, so EOTS is via contact. I know this is a bit late, but I felt like writing in about Dark Souls anyway. In the game, the Dark Sign is described as a curse because it makes people lose their minds and go hollow. However, if you look at it another way, it is actually the gift of eternal life. The way I interpret the game is that people go hollow or insane because they're forced to keep living when they've lost the will to live. The knowledge that there never is an end, that that is the curse of it. The knowledge that there never is an end, that is the curse of it. The story of the game is about an age of fire coming to an end. I think that the dark sign tells us that even though everyone fears the end, it is actually better than the alternative.
Hmm.
Which plays into the themes we've discussed, right?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And the whole idea of it being eternal life, like I keep bringing up Vatti, but just he just does really good lore stuff. His interpretation of like Rhea and the Way of White has to do with the church having a problem mm-hmm. with there being this kind of eternal life that, you know, is outside of kind of a traditional religious eternal life.
Yeah.
So that dovetails nicely into that.
Yeah, it's kind of like a twisted Monkey Paul's poorly worded genie wish version of eternal life, right?
Like a D&D second edition wish as opposed to a D&D fourth edition wish. and we weren't kidding when we said if you had responses about 1-1, we'd read them.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you have anything to say about Firelink, like lay it on us.
Sorry. I didn't want this to be a 4-minute.
No. Don't apologize. Like I'm happy if somebody takes the time to write in, I'm happy to read it. So, mm-hmm. Okay. I don't think any of us disagree. We maybe didn't talk on that too much specifically, but because of like, unlike the, you know, Demon Souls half of this, like, you know, we were kind of spoiled for theorizing and stuff in the first half
mm-hmm.
or first season.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, there's so much content there. And it can be interpreted so many different ways that it's real fun to kind of work through and mm-hmm. pull out stuff.
Yeah, but I don't think any of us think that that supposition is illogical or incompatible or, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I dig. So,
yeah, we dig.
I dig it.
Mm-hmm. What else can they dig about you, Jeremy?
Oh, excuse me.
it's okay. I really sprung that on you.
yeah. Don't wait for the translation.
Not that we mentioned it last time. Yeah.
I have a YouTube page, youtube.com/notecec, where I post up 100% Dark Souls videos. I've never recorded another game at all. Bunch of stuff there. You can come in and make fun of me in the comments. That's all good. And then I run darksoulshaters.tumblr.com, which aggregates all hate mail from Dark Souls and somewhat Demon Souls, although not very much of it since the game's not as popular. And I mentioned this before, but if you are sensitive to foul language, please do not visit the site. There's lots of homophobia, sexism, lots of bad words. And yeah, I think I got... I want to say somebody got called like a, or somebody got told to go punch their own dick the other day. So like that gives you the idea of like a 13-year-old cross with like early,
onset Alzheimer's.
Yeah, there you go. Early onset. That's good. And that's where you can find me on the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You posting that is not a tacit endorsement of that behavior.
No,
we're specifically making fun of it with every post.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't think we mentioned it last time. If you have other things to say, whether they're about Firelink or what have you, duckfeed.tv/contact
yes.
is the way to do that. You probably know that by now. I don't worry too much about saying in the last episode, but definitely we encourage you to mm-hmm. let us know what's on your mind about Souls.
Yeah, yeah. As you're hearing this, we are still taking comments about 3-1. So if you just have any thoughts about Latria in general,
still taking comments about 3-2 and 3-3.
Yes. Oh yeah. That's what I mean.
I mean, I guess we are still.
Yeah. About all of them. Yeah. Pursuant to our previous conversation about us recording this early.
Yep.
Yeah.
Just send them comments about anything at all and they will read them on the air. I promise you.
Tell me about anything at all.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Tell me about anything at all. Crime across. yeah, and you can find our other shows on duckfeed.tv mm-hmm. and you can find us on Facebook at Bonfireside Chat on Facebook. Yep. And you can go to iTunes and review us and stuff.
Yeah. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, and use the Amazon link to pre-order Dark Souls 2.
Yes, yes. I'm going to put something in my Taskmaster right now about putting that link there on the Bonfireside Chat site. So there will be a nice little widget where you can click that, and it will go, and we will get a little kickback. Doesn't cost you anything extra.
Yep. So we appreciate it. Until next time, if only I had some friends.
Is that a message?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So the world might be mended.
Mbasa.
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 Mbasa. was a, some kind of police activity downtown, so it delayed the train.
Those things happen.
They do. Yep. Especially the mean streets.
Yeah. I had my first true New York experience when I was living there, when I was late to work because somebody jumped in front of the train.
Huh.
Yeah.
Only in New York!
Oh, boosh! Get a good slice and you got your public suicides.
Yeah, bagels, pizza, and public suicides. New York City.
You've got a little bit of a post-slobber on that. Public suicides.
Public suicides.
Oh, that's good stuff.
Only in New York.
No. Want me to add you? Oh, bless you.
That was a cough, actually.
Oh, wow.
I got home and I was hungry. I jammed a chicken strip into my mouth. So I just jammed on some cream real quick and then,
I don't ever want to hear the phrase jammed on some cream again.
It's the new thing, man.
Oh, wow.
Jamming on cream.
Yeah. No, I suppose
I was getting ready to record the pitch with Brayton and I was eating ice cream because it was swelteringly hot.
Oh, yeah.
Before we started recording, I'm just jamming some cream. Yeah. Like, real quick before we record. So, we were talking about jamming cream and then bugs on your fings. So, you put 10 bugs on your fings and then you jam some cream.
What's the serving size on bugles? If it's 10, I'm going to be very upset.
There's probably something stupid like 11. It should be 10, though. That should be an entire serving of bugles.
Well, yeah.
It's like two gloves full. Like, yeah, a couple gloves of bugs.
A delicious snack on the go.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that little bugin' grind.
Hello.
Hello.
Jeremy.
How are you guys doing tonight?
Well, sorry I'm late. Had some traffic problems. And I'm having some throat clearing problems.
So doesn't sound like you're having problems with your throat clearing. That's coming out through loud and clear.
Yeah, I'm making it you guys' problem. It's the listener's problem. The appendix's problem. All the that I'm going to be doing during this. Let me see if I can do one solid cough to rule them all and get this messy business behind us. Hold on a moment.
Oh, God, that is...
Wow, that was not good.
That's an atrocity.
Yeah. It wasn't my best work.
He went to argue and then didn't.
Yeah, I know. I was going to make some excuses, but I'm past that point in my life. If I jam a chicken strip and below the recommended or above the recommended speed and I suffer some throat mess because of it.
Yeah. No. Well, you know what?
You're saying chicken strips did this to your throat? That's not good, man.
A single chicken strip. An emergency strip. I was hungry and we had to record, so I had to jam a strip real quick. And it didn't, as you can hear, it didn't end well.
So, jam this chicken strip.
Yeah, because I just picked up a six-pack of chicken strip jammers.
Yeah. And,
Popeye's chicken, jam these strips.
Jam these strips indeed.
Just to pick up a pail of chicken drizzlers, you know?
Yeah, just grab it.
Ranch, honey mustard, barbecue, Cajun.
Yeah, snack, brunch, crunch, mumblers.
Products!
Countdown to crub.
Nothing wrong with a little crub and grind.
I was very glad that I got my Demon's Souls playthrough like 90% done before all of this started, so I could actually have a fresh perspective on what we're going to talk about today and the game in general.
Yeah,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the game is rewarding my revisit with a critical eye. So
yeah.
When do you expect your household troubles to be behind you?
2023, 2024, something like that. No, I mean, we've got it completed, but like I have to, now it's just it's a function of time and money. Like I have to go through and buy all new kitchen cabinets, buy all new floors, just go through the whole, it's basically a full remodel that like a forced remodel when you're broke. Mm-hmm. So it's been a very interesting experience, but we're all right. We're good. I've got my you know, I bought my TV for my living room where I sit like 12 feet away. And now, so I got like a 55 inch TV so you could see everything. Mm-hmm. And now I'm 3 feet away from it and everything is huge.
IMAX.
Exactly. Yeah. Like I'm having to move my head back and forth to look at stuff. So I guess that's a positive.
Well, you should have gotten two 25-inch TVs and made some kind of Oculus Rift.
Yeah, yeah, and wear them like glasses.
Yeah. Just have like a giant like a cover for both of them that you just lean up to them and look at it mm-hmm. like you do the 3D glasses at Best Buy or something.
Yeah, like it's some kind of tube apparatus like people would make to foil screen looking in GoldenEye.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah.
I'm sure my wife would approve of that. Absolutely. Yeah. Sorry, baby. No Breaking Bad tonight. I kind of lost these two 25-inch screens for no reason.
Yeah.
Man, I'm so excited for Dark Souls 2.
Yeah, I've already pre-ordered my collector's edition.
Yeah, I did that the other night too. I was like $120. That seems perfectly reasonable.
the way I justify it is, I just need to make sure I have $120 then. So yeah, it's like they won't charge me until it ships. Yeah. So who cares about future Gary? Fuck that guy. Yeah.
That's how I'm getting away with my PS4, despite having to remodel my entire house. Is I pre-ordered it way back in the day, and just been dropping Amazon gift cards on it every once in a while. So it's basically paid for now. So.
Yeah,
still feel kind of bad about that, but hey, whatever.
the Dark Souls 2. Like I've been, really strategizing what I'm going to do when that comes out and how I'm going to handle my work life balance, and by which I mean like not devote it to. And I can justify so much because of the show. Mm-hmm. Like I can just like, well, I'm just going to spend 72 hours like playing it straight and beat it in one marathon because I have to for the show. I have to spend $120 to get the thing because I have to for the show.
It's my job. Like I get totally paid off this podcast, and that's how I pay my bills.
Yeah, not the case actually.
I'm sure you have a real life job.
Well, and we don't really get paid from the podcast. So So we can it's all a fiction. I'm telling myself. But
get paid in social capital.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
I have the difficulty of, I pre-ordered it from Amazon, and I can work things out with my UPS guy who's usually around here around 7, but he'll meet me earlier if I call him or whatever. But if someone does a midnight launch, I don't do midnight launches usually, but this would be the one game that would get me to GameStop at midnight to line up outside of a thing. I just... Yeah.
I wanted the tchotchkes. I knew that I'd want the... there's Dark Souls is really bereft of merchandise in general. So I knew that if there was an opportunity to get some of it with the pre-order, I'd want to do it. So I can wait. I can kill those couple hours between UPS and midnight launch, even though a midnight launch for it would be pretty fun.
Because
there's a midnight launch of the PC version.
In my area, there's several, I just found out that dude, that YouTube guy, Peeverson, he lives in my town, and so do a couple of other goons that play Dark Souls, which is really kind of random.
Oh yeah, that's cool.
Let's have a Dark Souls party, Dark Souls 2 party.
Oh, that would be a blast.
Did you guys check out the new trailer that came out? I think this week or last week.
Yeah, yeah. The Aching Bones or whatever. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
So fucking stoked about that game.
Mm-hmm. I'm trying to decide when I want to black out on it. Right, mm-hmm. I've been comfortable so far because they've shown pretty much the same couple of areas, but
mm-hmm. I feel like Dark Souls is resistant to that because it's so deep. Mm-hmm. Getting a cursory, if somebody literally before you play Dark Souls showed you panning over most of the areas in the game. Mm-hmm. There's still so much there, but it's all just kind of hidden and secret and stuff.
Yeah. I definitely 80% of my rational mind believes that. However, there's the other part of me that really enjoys the fear and anxiety of going into something entirely new.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I've been straddling a balance, between just being curious about what kind of gameplay stuff they're doing and then just trying to gloss over whenever anything that seems significant in terms of lore or tone comes up.
I haven't seen much that really deals with the lore or the tone. A lot of the stuff's coming out like this week and last week were like gameplay mechanic stuff about invading and things like that, which is all fascinating. So
it's such a hilarious amount of fascinating too. Like it's only fascinating to ridiculous devotees. a casual like fan or somebody who just likes video games. Like I was talking to one of my coworkers who's like mildly into games but hasn't played the Souls games, like despite all my best efforts. And he was like, "Yeah, what did they reveal in the trailer?" And I was just like, I was gonna say something. And then I realized like news came out that attunement increases casting. Like it's so specific that any layman is not going to give a shit about anything that's revealed, you know? Like everything that I'm excited about this is not, you know, isn't trailerable. Like it isn't something that like you're going to be able to get someone else excited about.
Yeah.
You know, these like tiny tweaks, like, oh my God, this game is, because all the things that are amazing about Dark Souls are going to be more of the same. Yeah. Like they're perfecting, you know, all these little things. I haven't seen any big killer feature.
It does seem to be taking a significant Demon Souls twist.
Yeah.
Just the way that the people move and the kind of the environments and stuff that you've seen. Like it really looks like a spiritual successor to both games, despite being Dark Souls 2.
So yeah.
Yeah.
It's just interesting to see how it pops up.
Which I'm cool with that. I'm 100% cool with that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to see like Dark Souls again.
Lordran, but 40 years later.
Yeah, I mean, I would want to see that. Let me take that back. Like, I would accept a new Dark Souls game every month.
They put it in front of me. Yeah,
yeah. I had that when it first came out. So I was like pretty young. But when the first X-Men movie came out, if you guys remember, like that was the the first of these like new superhero movies, right?
Yeah.
Like kind of cool, you know, kind of cool and modern, and not, you know, after kind of Batman and Robin and stuff. And after I left, like all my friends and we were all freaking out about it, even though like it's, you know, it's not a great movie in comparison to what came after, like you look at the Avengers or something. But you know, and I was just like, I want another one of those every month.
Yeah.
Like I want just like a 2-hour like exploration of this universe I like, with that much, you know, that's exactly like that. And that's how I feel about Dark Souls as well. Like I just want a new one once a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just give me a new area of Lordran like once a month as DLC, and I'll pay it. You know, I'll subscribe.
Yeah,
yeah.
You realize you're asking for episodic Dark Souls, right?
Yeah,
yeah. I know. Okay. Which, absolutely. I know. I want a full game. I want a Dark Souls to experience.
I mean, I would not balk at episodic Dark Souls, but
yeah. I'll take the whole thing. Even though like I haven't heard anything about it in a while, but like the one thing about them going back to the Demon Souls thing is like I'm still holding out hope for them to like get some good people on board and actually do that Demon Souls 2 thing.
Yeah.
If they actually do so. Like I'm less excited about it than Dark Souls 2, but it's not like I'm not gonna play it and follow it with interest if any news comes out.
I would think it would be a huge coup for Sony if they could get, because that Miyazaki guy, the director of Dark Souls, Demon Souls, he's supposed to be working on like a unnamed project, and if Sony could get Demon Souls 2 PS4 exclusive, I mean, can you imagine the?
It's the thing that fucking craziness? Got me to buy a
PlayStation game over.
3. Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, that's what does it for me. That's what's going to put me into a system. Mm-hmm. You know,
The as starting to playing Demon Souls again, it brought up. I'd originally rented Demon Souls back in the day from GameFly, way before like Dark Souls came out, or I was into the game at all. I think the Gamers with Jobs guys were like raving about how great it was. So I was like, okay, I'll try it. And that save literally has 45 minutes before I just took the game out of the PS3 and sent it directly back to GameFly. And then coming back years later and, you know, playing it for real this time, it's been a lot of fun. But yeah, 45 minutes, that was my threshold.
That's funny. In this in this week's appendix, I'm going to put at the end of it my original impressions of Dark Souls. Mm-hmm. From one of my old podcasts, like way back, just because it came up during, I believe the appendix, or maybe the main episode, but, it's been referenced a couple of times. I wanted to be there. Like my story was pretty much exactly the same for Dark Souls.
Have you hunted it down and listened to it yet?
Yeah. Yeah. I've already pulled it down. It's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it must've been hard to convert. Cause I think you've got everybody else on that show on board, right? Has Ben played it?
Ben has it. He's played it. He just doesn't like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Huh. But yeah, I mean, I know that, at least Dennis and David are into it enough to keep playing it, because it keeps showing it up on the What You Playing thing. So, it must've been hard to reconvince them after kind of anti-evangelizing it.
Well, I mean, I anti-evangelized it for 2 episodes and then I talked about it for 17 straight.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
you know.
All right, is everybody ready?
I am ready.
Here, let me.
I gotta hack up some shit. Hold on.
I was just like, you're joking. I literally have to do that. Hold on a second. You just cut me off from actually apologizing for the fact that I have to wetly cough.
You sound like the dog from Christmas Vacation. I don't worry about him. Just yakking on a bone.
Nothing plays better in podcast land than throat noises, right?
Like, oh man, here I can get some potato chips.
You stole my joke. I was going right there.
Everybody log into emayonnaise.com real quick and we'll try it again with a case of wet throat.
What's e-mayonnaise?
That's a website that delivers online mayonnaise directly into your throat. Yeah. Like, you attach a nozzle to your SCSI drive and go to town.
You have to have a 3D printer.
Yeah, you have a 3D printer that can make mayonnaise
and a special type of that plastic liquid that you put in the 3D printer. It has to be a special type.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's manufactured by Miracle. Okay, it's Miracle Whip.
Yeah. Yeah. I like this e-mayonnaise.
It's great. It's gross.
Yeah. Like Miracle Whip.
All mayonnaise is gross.
Unfortunately, I just looked it up, and not only is the domain not available, but it's also a porn site. So
no way.
No, not at all. Okay.
It's like, oh. I cannot think of a porn site I want to go to less than emayonnaise.com. Like, anything you put into that, solve for X.
Actually, first thing that would just be mayonnaise.com.
Is it M-A-N? Like mayonnaise?
Oh, not good.
Oh, man.
Anywho.
Okay, so, sorry.
No, it's A-K-A-O-K. It's A-K-A okay.
Also known as,
known as okay. All right. It's been so long since I've been human.
Speaking of Dark Souls themed tumblers, by the way, I didn't want to bring this up in the shout outs or anything. I don't know if you're aware of all of these like weird ass Marvelous Chester or ass Knight Artorias, like all these weird roleplay blogs that exist on Tumblr.
No.
It's a whole thing, and you'll find out, like, if you spend any time in the Dark Souls tag, where people pretend to be characters from the game, and like people ask them questions, and then it gets really weird when the guy pretending to be Seath the Scaleless starts talking to the guy pretending to be Marvelous Chester, and they start bringing up like texts and stuff like that. But all of that, it goes on to say somebody on Tumblr was complaining about it, saying there were too many ask blogs or whatever, and someone went out and created Ask a Dark Souls Slime. This guy is role-playing one of the slimes in the depths, and all he does to anybody that asks him questions is just call him homo fag. Jeez. And it's the funniest damn thing. It's the funniest thing. Doesn't post often enough, though.
Oh, when you're saying, so my mind, because of internet, when you said ask blogs, I thought you said ass blogs, and then you were saying Chester and Artorias. So I was immediately imagining like people doing like, you know, yoy or whatever they were, like, you know, imagining Artorias and Chester having sex.
There is that. I've had to block so many people from posting Dark Souls porn. It's ridiculous.
What?
I've
seen some of it in the weird fan art thread and Something Awful, which I'm catching up on, but
yeah, huh? It's hard, you know, the mood of Dark Souls and everything makes it seem very difficult for me to get an erection. I don't know if it's just me, guys, but I don't, like, nothing about these games makes me turgid at all.
I don't know, that female undead merchant is just throwing herself at you through those bars.
I want to see if the moss matches the
if the moss matches the moss on top of her head.
Yeah.
We're all hollow inside, right?
We're all. Oh God. I can't.
We should stop this. That's gross.
That's disgusting. Inevitably, like, it won't happen with us because I trust you guys. But a lot of times when people are talking about porn this way, you know, you want to stop it before somebody eventually is just like, oh, yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know. It wouldn't be that weird. Does that. It's like that. There's that Onion story where it's like ironic porn masturbated to unironically.
Yeah, that's really gross. Yeah, a little bit. I don't get into, like, not even personally, I don't even understand the concept of sexualizing, like, video game characters at all. Like, I've never...
No. I don't want them sexualized even within game. Like, I don't even want them to have big, you know, exposed breast. Yeah. Like, sex doesn't... I don't want it in my video games, like, in really in any way. Unless it's Silent Hill 2 sex.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only thing I want, is to feel uncomfortable and dirty
yeah.
about ever having an erection. And, like, that's the only thing I want from a video game.
I think the best opinion I've ever read about that is just the kind of person who would do that doesn't really have an awful lot of connection to other people or, you know, just in general, any romantic prospects, really. And in turn, they turn that energy towards, like, well, I got to masturbate to something and nobody's going to – and it's not out there, so I have to make it.
Yeah.
So then taking that and then making it, because these are the characters, because people are just characters – that I right. know, and I can also control and make them do what I want.
I talked about that a little bit in that pilot season yeah. about the PAX personal ads.
Yeah.
Like, just they're just being like something socially wrong with you and not being able to interact with normal human beings. Like, if you're getting mm-hmm. these giant Cortana boners. Yeah. That's a sad note.
So weird.
Yeah. Yeah. It makes me sad.
Yeah. Life is a struggle.
Yeah, it's a struggle for me to exist with these video game porn people.
Yeah.
I just have to wake up every day and have there be fucking Law Trek on Chester porn exists.
Yeah, and there's a whole group of people. Again, this is all because I search for hate mail on Tumblr.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that draw pictures of Law Trek and what's her name? The Firelink Shrine Lady.
Anastasia.
Anastasia. Like, you know, and every time I see somebody posting, I just block it so I never have to see it again. But mm-hmm. you can only block.
Yeah.
You still have to see it to be able to block
yeah,
it.
Yeah. For a second.
It's just the grossest thing ever. Like, I don't get it, man. Really yeah. explicit pictures. Anyway, we yeah. should stop talking about Dark Souls.
Yeah. Before we get, like, tagged by the NSA.
Yeah. Too late.
Gotta watch from these guys.
From revokes our collector's editions.
No.
No, we do. We're not going to do anything untoward with that statue.
Says the guy searching for the Silence of the Lamb. Scene.
Hey, those are humans. Yeah. Those are so humans.
Some of our landings were desperate adventures. We are now prepared to meet the inevitable counterattacks with power and with confidence.